never liked this song. How about you, Dave?
I liked it.
How about you, Mary?
It's kind of depressing.
Man, let's not do it. You got anything else? Jake, tell me when you're ready with something else.
I got outvoted there.
Just give me like a thumbs up or something. All right, here we go. That's a bump number two to start the week whenever you're ready. Just pick, you know, pick anything other than Monday.
Or rainy days and Mondays. Not good.
Anything other than rainy days and Mondays or Monday. All right? Anything at all, Mike. Anything at all you can find. Any music at all. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
I just had this song in my head, too, that is so weird.
This song?
He pushed it. Yeah, because I said, play a song that makes us happy. And there it was. Happy.
A little psychic, aren't you?
I am.
Dancing with the Stars is back tonight.
Yes.
And we didn't ever, and you know, look, it's been a little crazy around here, but last week we did not congratulate Jared Payton. He won the Dancing with the Stars Chicago Celebrity Edition.
Yeah, how about that?
He
about
did.
A week ago. So he'll be on today to, you know, take his congratulations later on in the morning. Also, Edzo will be on. I'm looking at my own schedule here.
Yes.
You know, you make it up all weekend and you go, well, that's a surprise. No, of course he's going to be on. Eddie Olczyk will be on talking about the Hawk. You know, but, you know, this is, right?
Yep.
I mean,
think you summed
it
up,
doesn't it?
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better.
Eddie Olczyk will be on talking about a real skid, the most serious skid of the year for the Hawks. It is not at a good time. How many games did you say are left?
9 games to go, Steve.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to miss the playoffs, but, you know.
No, here's how the standings are. Dallas, 95 points.
Yeah.
St. Louis, 93 points.
Yeah.
The Blackhawks, 91 points. They've all got 9 games to go. And Nashville now 6 points behind the Blackhawks. So I think they're going to be okay to at least finish third.
Well, they're 2 games out of first place with
basically
9 to go.
Yeah, and they've got Dallas here tomorrow night.
Okay.
They have to go to Minnesota next week.
Oh, I thought they already finished the Minnesota
series.
They
still haven't beaten the Wild this year.
Yeah, so far they've been swept. Mm-hmm. Digger Phelps will be on later talking about a goofy weekend in the NCAA tournament. And the former employee of this show, Ross Cochran, was leading the WGN brackets on Saturday when I looked.
He no longer is.
Yeah.
He no longer is. And by the way, that's bar has been lowered significantly over the course of the weekend for everybody.
Yeah, it's just it's potluck now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And Kevin Powell, you remember him?
Kevin Powell.
Used to produce the show?
Rings a bell, yeah.
He's still not back from spring training?
He is. No, he's back.
He's been there like weeks.
He's back. He's doing sports for Roe again for the next couple of days, so he'll be on later.
Really?
With the latest on LaRochegate and see if Take Your Son to Work Forever Day is finally solved. Reinsdorf got involved this weekend. In the important world news stuff, not a lot of new campaign news to report. You know, another Trump rally, another violent outbreak. What are you going to do? But the president is in Cuba. Did you ever think you'd see that? I never did.
No. And watching a Major League Baseball game there today.
Who's playing?
Tampa Bay is playing. The Rays.
Just themselves? Just Tampa Bay?
It's just going to be down again against the Cuban national team, I think.
That would make sense. They're probably pretty good, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Sasha Malia are there as well.
Yeah, it's a nice
family
trip.
Wow!
But the president arrived yesterday. Boy, talk about Secret Service concerns. You know what I mean? You go into a country you had no relationship with, and now you're going to go into a country where you can't really have full trust that you're getting full cooperation from their police and the old Castro brothers. You know, you've got to take them at their word that they want this. Man, I don't know. It's a gutsy move. So Obama is in Cuba, and they will have meetings today. Raul Castro and the president will sit down today. You looking something up? He gave you the finger.
Tampa Bay. I was checking on that plan, but I will update you.
You can get back to me on that?
I will get back to you on that.
No significant news out of Springfield. They still don't have a budget. That's a shock to all of you. And it is spring. It is spring.
Officially.
Yes.
Sure feels like it.
Let's do a quick traffic and then see if we can catch up to my friend Paul Conrad, who actually officially start the week. Mary, what do you have?
Couple things going on. First off, still this accident on the inbound Eisenhower, the Austin off-ramp to watch for. It's about 52 minutes in from 53, 38 minutes from Mannheim, and building in the outbound Kennedy, pretty much River Road to Mannheim if you're heading to O'Hare, 26 out to the airport. Edens looks good. Stevenson, that is slow into Cicero. Accident northbound 57 before Vollmer Road. Traffic sponsored by Whole Foods Market. Right now at Whole Foods Market, get organic whole trade beefsteak tomatoes for just $1.99 per pound through this Tuesday. Visit Whole Foods Market, America's healthiest grocery store. Mary Vandeveld, WG on Traffic Central.
Let me go to Paul Conrad now and see if we can find Paul. He should be right there. Good morning, Paul. No? I can see him sitting on set right now. Is this tape, possibly? Is this? Did they not do the WGN News live? It used to be live. Is it not live anymore?
I think it's normally live.
Like, when you do the sports on Friday night or on the weekends or fill-in, is that on tape or is that like an old newscast that I'm watching?
Well, on Friday nights, it's live. Saturday nights, it's live. Sunday mornings.
Paul forget he was going to be on today?
Pat Tomasulo looks like he's live.
They all appear to be live. Let me just check my text to see if Paul texted me to see if, say, he wasn't going to be able to do the show today. Nope. Got nothing. I think I should check Feeder to see if Paul quit this show.
Yeah.
That might be a good idea.
All right, so we'll move on. 617, we'll take a break. We'll come back on 720 WGN.
Live from downtown Chicago, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Maybe some snow flurries later this week, which is a little weird because it's spring. But the thing is now, whatever snows goes, and I mean quickly. So I don't like it. You don't like it. We don't like it. The American people don't like it. But in Maine and Boston today, they could get 10 inches of snow. Schools in Boston are closed this morning. So we again have a very, very weak winter wrapping up, and we thank Mother Nature for that.
Yeah, and there's flowers coming up, so no more snow.
You mean because it'll kill the flowers?
Yeah.
Won't
well,
the flowers
I don't know.
Grow
I'm
back?
Not a good gardener, but my tulips always come up way too early, and then they're gone in a week.
I don't having any ability to grow anything.
It's me, yeah,
including
not much.
My own hair.
Not even.
No, I mean me. So I don't even know what to say to that other than good luck.
Yeah, well,
yeah. Dave, are you a gardener of any kind?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
No, I don't have the green thumb that my grandma had. My dad has. I just somehow did not inherit that. But I do a pretty good job growing weeds.
Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah, and something.
By the way, if you're in Antarctica listening this morning, we have a big, big listenership in Antarctica. Are we still number one in Antarctica?
Yeah.
Antarctica?
Last time I heard.
I thought so. The sun has disappeared for 6 months.
Can you imagine?
It's now terminal night there for the next 6 months.
Man.
So.
Don't need sunglasses.
No. It's great.
Sunscreen.
It's great if you like the clubs. Because, you know, you can go out at noon and feel like it's midnight.
It'd be good for, like, Nick DiGilio.
Yeah, because he appreciates the dark.
Yes, and watching TV. So he could just sit in and watch TV in the dark all the time.
We've got a comet that's going to come close to smashing into Earth today, if you want to watch that. We'll get to that detail later. You probably would like it now, but I don't have the story.
Really? I mean,
where?
It'd be nice to have a little more information
Should
on that.
Should we duck?
Well, I think the more important question is, Dave, can you access the WGN bracket standings?
Yes, I can.
So if you get access to bracket standings, I'd be curious to know if anyone on the staff is in the top 10.
I checked last night. I didn't see anybody. Let's see. Track the results, and we have the leaderboard.
The screen names of the people generally start with 7.
Okay, let me correct myself.
All right, number 10. Give me a number 10.
By the
way, I was 82nd. Out of 1,000 on Saturday, and I thought, well, that's pretty good, 82nd out of 1,000. But I didn't account for ties. 82nd is not good. As a matter of fact, I think Kathy and Judy are ahead of me.
That's not good.
No.
Not good.
I don't spend a lot of time breaking down hoops. So you think your bracket's bad? Apparently mine's worse. All right, so.
There is no number 10. There's a tie for 5.
Okay, what is that?
Let's see.
See any staff people on there?
No. Nobody from the
four?
Staff. Then we have a two-way tie for 3. Tommy the Greek. I don't think he works here.
I don't either.
And 720 Ross Cochran.
What? He's number 3?
He's tied for 3rd.
Yeah.
Fifth, a total score of 51.
Wow.
Right. How about that? And then there is a two-way tie for first. Clueless, I presume a listener, I hope yes. a listener,
right.
and 720 Hill. Jeff Hill, who's our director of sales.
Tied for first.
Really?
Tied for first at 52.
He's supposed to be getting ready for the big Monday morning sales meeting. You would think that'd be a bigger concern than winning the brackets.
Apparently not.
Well, there you go. And how many points does he have?
He has 52.
And Ross has 51?
Ross has 51. And then the next GN folks on the standings, on the leaderboard, Anna DeVlantis, tied for 23rd, along with Karen Moss from our sales staff. They're in a tie. And then I don't see any other GNers. There's somebody,
right, so
somebody I don't know.
Do this for me. Go yeah. down the list during the break
mm-hmm.
and find out where we are in the standings. And I think my screen name is Nerf Cochran. I think it's Nerf Cochran.
Oh, okay.
Nerf Hoop Cochran or something. I forgot what I named myself. Coming up, along with the story of a comet that could crush Earth today, we'll get to that. Mike Jacobson producing along with Mary Sandberg. And one of you guys remind me to do the story of the comet that's about to hit Earth at some point during the show, because I don't want to forget that.
We do.
There's also the internet trying to name a new 300 million British research ship. And the leader of this British research ship naming contest, this is why he turned nothing over to the internet, is Bodie McBoatface. 626, big story coming up. And look who's in the house, the great Bob Kessler.
I am in the house. Hello.
Morning, Bob. What are you doing
Good
up
morning.
At this hour?
I'm doing the big story. That's what I'm doing up
well,
at
nice
this hour.
Nice to have you on the show.
Me too.
Didn't you play a harmonica gig till 2 in the morning? Isn't that normally what
that
you do?
That wasn't, not this time.
Right.
Not this night. I don't even. I started work at 2, so yeah, I'm not sure. Is it night or day? That is.
But
what
this
I'm
is
still
an odd time for you to be awake.
I get up most mornings around now.
Do you?
Yeah.
To do what?
Start my day. Listen to your show.
Okay, well, that's a good call. We're back with Kessler and a big story. Andre is back midweek or so, but this is 720 WGN. Well, you know what this music means.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
And then what happened, John?
And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
641, and Dr. Kevin Most joins us, courtesy of Northwestern Medicine Impact every day. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. How was your golf weekend with the brothers?
It was outstanding. Yeah, we got pretty lucky with the weather, and we had a lot of fun.
Down in Pinehurst?
We were down in Pinehurst, yeah, got down there Friday, played number 4 on Friday, played number 2
nice.
On Saturday.
Nice.
Number 2, we have a caddy when we go down there that caddies for us, Willie McRae.
Mm-hmm.
We were there 3 years ago on Willie's 80th birthday.
And he's still schlepping?
He caddied for us this year, 83 years old, and his grandson caddied for us as well.
Well, that's a good story. Great as
that's
that.
Pretty cool.
By the way, how did you feel about having an 83-year-old carry your bag? At any point, did the lessons of your mother kick in and maybe you'd take the bag from Willie?
No. Willie is the only caddy at Pinehurst who gets to use a cart.
Oh, cool. That's great.
And he's caddied for Nixon and Eisenhower and Ford.
Yeah, the story's going to be phenomenal.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Good man, huh?
Yep. It was great. It was great.
And which of the Most brothers won? You've forgotten, so it wasn't you.
Yeah, I have. It wasn't me. No, I think David won one day and Kurt won one day, and then actually Sunday we played a little scramble, two of us against, and Brad and I lost one down on 18.
Well, good weekend for you, considering you were the host.
Yeah, it was fun.
By the way, if you ever want to go to Pinehurst and you don't have a place to stay, I know where Dr. Most keeps his key, so you can just let me know. All right, so who is Elizabeth Kindria? Was that my prom date?
You know what? This is the one that's getting a lot of news. This is a bacteria, but it's actually named after a CDC microbiologist, Elizabeth King. She's the one who found this bacteria. And people say, well, what are you talking about this for? But especially in the Midwest right now, there's been a lot of news on it because of the deaths in Wisconsin and in Michigan.
I don't even know what it is. What is it? What is it? When did it happen? What's the story?
Yeah, it's a bacteria that causes infection, causes something we call sepsis, as well as meningitis.
Okay.
And has caused 54 cases, has caused, we're approaching 20 deaths just since November. So the largest outbreak ever, and people are like, oh my gosh, what should I do? Am I concerned? And no, this bacteria is growing in your yard right now, so it's not that we have a big concern, because for the most part, it's not going to get healthy people sick. It's going to get people that are immunocompromised and elderly are the ones that we're going to be concerned about.
So if you have a condition that has weakened your ecosystem, however old you are, but the obvious concerns are little ones and older folks?
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, this has been around for a long time. This was identified in the 50s, but this is a huge outbreak. And the CDC is trying to figure out why. Did the strain change? Why is this happening? Because usually they've had very controlled outbreaks, often in healthcare facilities, be it a nursing home or, you know, even in some hospitals. But besides that, this has been one that's been in 12 different counties, now is in two different states. So they really can't figure out where this is coming from.
Any risk of spreading it inadvertently?
No, you know, the biggest concern is actually once you get it. It's not like you're going to be contagious and give it to someone else. Because like I said, if a patient in front of me had it, but my immune system is fine, I'm not going to get it. It's that exposure and how do they get exposed and how do we figure out either stronger antibiotics to treat this quicker. That's probably the biggest thing is consider it now in your differential diagnosis where 3 months ago we never would have even thought about this bacteria.
All right, so keep it in mind. Seems if I'm a doctor and I discover something like that, I wouldn't name it after myself.
I know. Can you believe that?
No, I'd take it and I'd name it after someone I don't like someone
exactly.
In med school who really annoyed me.
Right.
I don't know what that would be. All right, 6:45, we come back. I want to talk to you about a commercial I'm seeing all the time now. This opioid thing with a little pink thing running around. It was one of the most hated Super Bowl commercials.
Yep.
But it turns out it's a big problem for people. It is 6:50 in the morning. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. You ever have a comedian named Eddie Izzard, Duck?
I did. I can't believe that he ran, 27 marathons in 27 days?
27 marathons in 27 days.
That's amazing.
And this guy used to be pudgy. This guy used to be, he was a cross-dresser. I'm sure he still does occasionally. Hey, who doesn't want to feel pretty on the weekend? He's done more acting than stand-up lately. Very funny stand-up. Great stand-up. And he got on this fitness kick, and he's just completed 27 marathons in 27 days. He raised $1 million for a British charity. I'm not sure what it is. But then I'm like, you know, this is how jaded we become with the fundraising thing. I'm going, that dude ran 27 marathons in 27 days. Seems like people could have kicked in a little more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of money, but come on. 27 marathons in 27 days. How does the body even tolerate that?
You could raise $1 million if you ran one marathon, I think.
Oh, I could. Let me tell you something right now. If I walk to the Hancock without taking a cab, I could raise $1 million. So. All right, let's go through this opioid story. First off, backtrack it for me.
Yep.
We saw the crazy little pink guy in the Super Bowl commercial we didn't like. What condition is that supposedly treating?
So it's a drug called Movantik, and it's treating a condition called opioid-induced constipation.
Okay, pleasant.
So opioids, exactly. Opioids are obviously pain medications that have many side effects, and that just happens to be one of them. But it's kind of interesting that they did this commercial, I mean the Super Bowl commercial, when really the gist of the problem goes way back and there's a lot of other issues that now the CDC, the federal government, and many states are starting to step up to.
So opioids are pain medicine specifically?
Yeah, and everyone's heard of them. You know, these are the Norcos, the Vicodins, the Tylenol number threes, the Oxycontin.
So high test pain meds?
Correct, absolutely. High test pain meds.
And they're causing the chronic constipation?
Well, they are, and it's like I said, it's kind of unusual that they talked about that portion of it, Because let's talk about what else they're causing. You know, we're talking about 45,000 overdoses
right.
because of medications like this. We're talking about 27,000 deaths. I mean, this is serious. And many patients are addicted to this because of the highly addictive nature of the medication.
Now, one of the things we haven't cut yet from the budget we don't have is the fact that we do monitor prescriptions pretty well in Illinois, right?
We do, not as close as others. We have an Illinois drug monitoring program, so if I'm seeing a patient, I'm going to give them a narcotic. I can go online to see if they've been doctor shopping.
This is what Rush Limbaugh did, doctor shopping or pharmacy shopping.
Correct. But for us, it's voluntary. I can, if I have a concern that this patient may be addicted or abusing, I can go on and look. In states like Texas, you must go on and check before you can prescribe.
Okay, so we could probably use that extra step as well.
That's one step. And last week, you probably saw it. It was in the paper and on the news. You know, the CDC stepped in and put out guidelines for primary care doctors and how they should be prescribing medication. Unprecedented that they would come out and tell a doctor this is what you should do and this is what you shouldn't do. But the days of us writing a prescription for Vicodin for 10 days or for 15 days because someone broke their arm or, have some low back pain, those days are gone. The CDC says no longer should you be doing that. Don't give them more than 3 days of pain medicine, opioid pain medicine.
How about that? Now, part of the reason for that, I would assume, is because the over-the-counter stuff has gotten so much better.
The over-the-counter stuff has gotten that much better, and I think that they feel that, everyone just rushes to that, and that's overkill. You don't need that much of a pain medication, although it does eliminate pain very well. But they're also saying that, boy, even 3 days, even 7 days of using this medication on a regular basis, the patient can become addicted to them.
The opioids that we're talking about, the class that we're talking about, you've got to be in a significant amount of pain to get these, period, I would assume.
You should be. And unfortunately, physicians now are getting rated on everything. And one of the things they get rated on is how well they manage pain. So, of course, you want to make sure that you do it right. Well, I can tell you the easiest way to make sure that the pain's gone is to give them an opioid medication. Give them Vicodin, give them Norco, something like that, and the pain will be eliminated. You will be comfortable, that's for sure. But unfortunately, the bad things that go along with it, we have to be concerned about.
But then there's drugs like Narcan, which actually save lives that shouldn't be lumped in with the restrictions on the others, should they or should they?
Well, that's the interesting part. We've had so many people now with the addiction to it and so many overdoses that the ability to use a drug called Narcan, which when given soon enough can totally eliminate that, the impact of the medicine and can save lives. Just to, if you watch the news, DuPage County put out a notice about a month ago saying that the Narcan has saved 100 lives in DuPage County. Our coroner in DuPage County said, we have to do something about this. His name's Rich Jorgensen. He's a physician. And he said, you know what? Forget about Narcan on the ambulances and in the emergency room. We need to get this into the hands of police officers because they're often the first one to get to the house. And because of that, 100 lives have been saved in DuPage County. If you go across the country, there's 14 states where you can go in and just buy Narcan. So you don't even need a prescription for it. So we're getting that into the hands of parents whose kids may be addicted. There's some pull and push on that saying, wow, if you give that, drug users are just going to try to get that high because they know they can take this pill and reverse it. I think that I look at it the other way, that we're saving lives if we put it in the right hands of the right
people. Yeah, I mean, it seems like that would be job one. We'll deal with the addiction if they're alive. If they're not alive, the addiction problem isn't an issue. So why wouldn't we try to keep them alive to begin with?
Correct. I mean, it's a great drug to reverse it. It's a great drug to save lives. And you know what? That allows you now to identify someone who does have a problem. And now let's get them into treatment. In Illinois, we're very, very thin on drug treatment centers. It's very expensive. And some other states are really stepping up and saying, you know what? We are going to support this as well. Like you said, maybe 20 minutes ago, we still don't have a budget in this state, and a lot of those services are being cut. So that is not going to be an option in Illinois. So we are really going to have to start looking at hospitals stepping up and building programs because the state won't be able to do it.
Not fair to ask you. This is the last question, so maybe we can do this in a longer form thing next week or whenever. But I'd love to get your longer form opinion on whether or not doctors are overprescribing, or is that a generalization that's unfair to the medical community? How about that for a setup, huh?
Yeah.
How about that? All right, so we'll do that down the road. Last thing related to all of this. The hardcore pain meds and the relatability to stomach issues, you've laid that all out here. Having said that, a lot of people take a lot of different drugs for a lot of different reasons, and there can be that same sort of impact, right? I mean, have we ever had a country that's had more stomach issues?
Absolutely. I mean, we've talked about stomach issues numerous times, but with the medications that we use and the drug interactions with them, very important to check and make sure that the drug interactions, if you're taking more than one med from a different doctor, that they're compatible. And the last thing I would say, too, is if you do get pain medicine for something, people always say, well, I'm going to save it for later. Don't do that. Mm-mm. Turn it back in. Bring it to the police department. Get rid of it, because thefts are happening from homes, and bad things can happen if the medication's not used properly.
And don't dispose of old meds down the drain, right?
No, don't. That's the worst thing people can do. You know, bring them in. There's many places right now where you can drop off your old medications, and they will dispose of them properly.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Glad you're back. Glad you had a good time. It's Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day, and Dr. Kevin Most. I will talk to you soon.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. You want to do the Hawks replay here? The Hawks replay? You've got it ready? All right. Hawks replay is sponsored by our friends at Four Seasons. You know, they have the tickets to give away. Why don't we give away some tickets, too, today? We'll do that about 7:20. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. I wish I had better news for you.
The Minnesota Wild win the shootout 1-0. They end up winning the hockey game here tonight 3-2.
That's all you need to know.
That's it?
That's it. That's all you need to know. That's it. Hawks lose in the shootout. Couple of minutes before 7, news next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
7:12, your presidential politics from the weekend, the primaries in caucusi this week. You got Idaho, you got Arizona, you got stuff that's probably already decided. Trump should roll in Arizona. Ted Cruz should roll in Idaho. Hillary should win Arizona and probably lose Idaho. I haven't really looked at the Democrats' numbers. But from the talk shows this weekend, and I want you to listen to this. This is why I like Kasich. Listen to John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, talk about whether or not he should stay in the race. Because if you pay attention to this stuff, there's a lot of yapping this weekend about he's just screwing it up. He's screwing it up for everybody. Kasich was actually campaigning in Idaho. He stated he can't win, but he made the point that I'm campaigning there because I'm running for president.
Everybody's got to face the fact that we're going to an open multi-ballot convention. That's where we're headed. And the convention is an extension of what we're going through right now. And so I've been at a convention that was contested in 1976. What happens is the delegates will take everything seriously. They will take a look at people's experience and their electability.
Okay,
and that's fine. I don't. What's everybody so panicked about this? Everybody needs to take a little chill pill, to tell you the truth.
Governor Donald Trump warned this week that there would be riots in the street if he walks onto the convention floor and he has the most delegates and he's denied the nomination. You've called this unacceptable language and it pulls people apart. But why should party leaders and not the voters choose the nominee?
Well, Dana, they will. You got to get to the magic number to be the nominee. Okay, and if Trump goes in there with a big number, maybe he'll get it. But, you know, the Republicans have had 10 conventions like this, and only three times has the person going into the convention with the most delegates won. You see, when you get to a convention, the delegates will take this very seriously, and they will examine electability. And they will examine who can be a great president, who is the best person, and who can win in the fall, as I've just mentioned. So, you know, I don't think that kind of language is appropriate to talk about violence and rioting. I know you don't. OK, that's inappropriate. I will also tell you the threats on Donald Trump's family is outrageous. They have no right to be threatening his family. So why doesn't everybody just realize that we're better in America when we're together and we're unified? And if you go to a convention and you lose, be a big enough person to say, I gave it my best and I didn't win. That's what I would say if I didn't.
Doesn't that sound like a guy you could get behind? Doesn't that sound like a grown-up? Doesn't that sound like somebody that could actually handle the job? Right after we take care of traffic here with Mary, we'll come back and we'll give you this weekend in Trump. So first, Mary does the cars on 720 WGN.
Watch for some police activity going on now. Side of the Edens, police activity at Tui exit ramp is closed. It's about 30 minutes as you make your way outbound. Inbound side of the Kennedys at 36 from O'Hare, 16 from the Edens. Hour 5 in the inbound Ike from 53 already, 46 from Mannheim, 40 coming in on the Stevenson, 20 on the Ryan from 95th. Metro Burlington Northern train 1222 due in at 722 has been delayed due to mechanical problems. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Trump was on Stephanopoulos' program yesterday this week on ABC. And by the way, does Stephanopoulos work every day? I guess he takes Saturdays off, huh? So he's doing a Good Morning America thing.
Good Morning America on Sundays. Yeah.
Boy, people have no idea. Broadcasting, it's like coal mining. That's unbelievable. But Stephanopoulos rightfully was talking to Trump about, will you finally talk about the violence at all of your protests and about your campaign manager grabbing people by the collar? As you would guess, Trump really listened.
Why is your campaign manager out in the crowd engaging protesters? This is the second incident.
Well, you know what? Because the security at the arena, the police were a little bit lax, and he had signs. They had signs up in that area that were horrendous, that I cannot say what they said on the sign, but the ultimate word, and it was all over the camera, and frankly, the television cameras can't take it, and they can't do anything about it, and I will give him credit. Spirit. Now, he didn't touch. He wasn't.
Well, the video does show that he touched him. Your private security pulled him, but it does show he grabbed the top.
I mean, I give him credit for having spirit. He wanted them to take down those horrible profanity-laced signs.
You appear to be much more upset by the protesters than by the violent response to those protesters.
I am very, I wouldn't use the word upset. I think it's very unfair. I will tell
you, George,
let me just tell you, it's a very unfair double standard.
I'm not quite sure what the double standard is. Donald Trump has not one time stood up and said, I want my people to stop engaging with protesters. Let the police do their job, but I want the people that support me to stop punching, kicking, and beating up protesters. Video doesn't lie. It happens at almost every event. The only event that I know of that it hasn't happened on was an event in Idaho where Trump had about 14 people because he's got no numbers in Idaho. All right, moving on. Today, Donald Trump will speak to a gathering with the specific benefit of establishing his position and others' positions on Israel. Where are we with Israel? Donald Trump says he's more Jewish than anybody.
And the U.S. considers Israel to be America's closest ally in the Middle East.
Well, first of all, I don't think they do under President Obama, because I think he's treated Israel horribly. All right? I think he's treated Israel horribly. I was the Grand Marshal down Fifth Avenue a number of years ago of the Israeli Day Parade. I have very close ties to Israel. I've received the Tree of Life Award given by Israel. As president, however, there is nothing that I would rather do to bring peace to Israel and its neighbors generally. And I think it serves no purpose to say that you have a good guy and a bad guy. Now, I may not be successful in doing it. It's probably the toughest negotiation anywhere in the world of any kind, okay? But it doesn't help if I start saying, I am very pro-Israel, very pro, more than anybody on this stage. But it doesn't do any good to start demeaning the neighbors, because I would love to do something with regard to negotiating peace, finally, for Israel and for their neighbors. And I can't do that as well as a negotiator. I cannot do that as well if I'm taking big, big sides. With that being said, I am totally pro-Israel.
I'm totally pro-Israel, except for the part I'm not. Now, I agree with Trump. As tough as it is, you've got to try to manufacture some sort of peace between Israel and the Palestinians. That effort has gone on forever. Jimmy Carter thought he had it done in 1979. It's gone on forever. But you have to still try. But the idea that you're the most Israel, hey, I have the Jews, I have the best Jews, the idea that you know Israel better than anybody because you were the Grand Marshal in the Israeli Day Parade in Manhattan, and you got I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. The Tree of Life Award, I think, is an award given by Jewish real estate agents to someone in the property business who does a really swell job. I think that's what it is. I think. I know that's an award he talks about all the time. So Donald Trump, he is the most pro-Israel. But the biggest news of the weekend, by far, and I don't know why this hasn't really cut through more, because clearly it's over. Trump is your nominee. This weekend, he received the endorsement of the great political mover and shaker, Scott Baio.
The new boy in the neighborhood lives downstairs and it's understood.
Yes, Joni Love Chachi.
He's there just to take good care of me.
Because Chachi paid attention to politics.
Charles in charge of our days and our night.
Wasn't this like a Who's the Boss ripoff, right?
He was like a Manny.
Yeah.
Right? Like Tony Danza was, right?
Mm-hmm. I love that song.
Bunch of little kids in the house.
Right, right, right. Scott Baio is like 75 now. Oh, Scott Baio endorsed Donald Trump. And, you know, so why are we even talking about it? The race is over. 7:21, I have your free Hawks tickets when we come back on 7:20 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Steve Cochran Show continues. Dave, we have tickets to give away to the Blackhawks. What game is this? It's usually the next home game. I don't have a schedule in front of me.
That would be tomorrow against Dallas. Is that possible?
It's going to be Dallas tomorrow.
Kind of a big game.
That's a big deal. They're handing out tickets left or right.
Is it Dallas?
I'm pretty sure it's Dallas. If it's not Dallas, it's the next home game. When would the next home game be?
Well, then they go on the road for four games.
It's Dallas. I'm being told it's Dallas.
Wow.
How about that?
Huge game.
Tickets for you to see the Hawks and the Stars. A lot of people go, Steve, you know, this puck in your pants situation that you are so fascinated with. Mm-hmm. Great contest, but I don't always get a chance to play, and then the other listeners get in before me. So could you do something a little easier? How about this? How about Caller 7?
That's easy.
Caller 7 right now gets tickets to the Hawks and the Dallas Stars tomorrow night. Pair of tickets tomorrow night. You'll be entered, by the way, if you win, to win four season tickets for next year. Courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingandCooling.com or on Facebook. That's such a good deal, man. That's such a good contest from the people at Four Seasons. Four season tickets the whole year. The whole year, Dave.
That would be every game?
That would be season tickets.
Wow.
I'm told that's the definition. All right, one correction. The Tree of Life Award is an award for great civic duty. That's given out by the Israeli community of Manhattan.
Outstanding community involvement.
Is that what it is?
And the dedication to the cause of American-Israeli friendship presented by the Jewish National Fund.
So that sounds like a pretty decent award.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
But Trump also references a real estate award that he's given. I don't know if it's like the Hebrew Remax Award. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's another one. But Ben Carson also won the Tree of Life.
Yeah, his acceptance
speech.
And
Al Gore.
Carson's acceptance speech was very hard to hear. Very hard. So congratulations to Trump. He's got the most juice. The Jewish people, they love him. He will speak today at AIPAC along with others, and that'll be significant news later on. Caller 7, you win the Blackhawks tickets. Oh, I got to do that Eddie Izzard story, right? Yeah, Eddie Izzard, the British comedian. Dave, you'd love Eddie Izzard. Eddie Izzard, very funny guy. Now, he's got a fairly thick accent. It takes a little while to get your brain accustomed to the translation, because you've heard Paul Coit on the show. I mean, we may speak the same language, but we don't speak the same language.
No, not at all.
We had a clip of Eddie before I tell the story. All right, here we go.
And I grew up in the 70s when there was a period of, you know, the careers advisor used to come to school and he used to get the kids together and say, look, I advise you to get a career. What can I say? That's it. And he took me aside. He said, what do you want to do, kid? What do you want to do? Tell me your dreams. I said, I want to be a space astronaut, go to outer space, discover things that have never been discovered. He said, look, you're British, so scale it down a bit, all right? All right, I want to work in a shoe shop. Discover shoes that no one's ever discovered, right in the back of the shop on the left. And he said, look, you're British, so scale it down a bit, all right? All right, I want to work in a sewer, then. Discover sewage that no one's ever discovered and pile it on my head and then come to the surface and sell myself to an art gallery. I said, what the f*** have you been smoking, eh? Certainly haven't been smoking in a bar in California, that's for sure.
the British comedian Eddie Izzard, who got famous on stage as a cross-dressing comedian, has run 27 marathons in 27 days, including, by the way, finishing Sunday with a double marathon, a double, in Johannesburg, South Africa.
How do you do that? How? I mean, the
no idea.
The best runners in the world, I don't think they can run two marathons in a day. I mean, I know they have these Ironman competitions, which, yeah, that's a little bit different, but two marathons in a day in 27 and 27 days.
I don't
see how your joints could take pounding.
Those ultra marathoners do it all the time. Those ultra, aren't they called that, Dave?
But I still, I mean,
I don't get
27
it's
days
not good
in a row.
For you. It's not
I don't
good
get
for
it.
You.
By the way, he's 54 years old, and he raised about $1 million, a little more than $1 million, for something called Sport Relief, according to the BBC. I don't know what Sport Relief does. In the course of running 707 miles, he overcame dehydration, heat exhaustion, and sunstroke. His marathon's complete. He celebrated Sunday night with a bottle of wine, which he took one long swig from straight from the bottle, and then collapsed and died. No, he's fine. But, man, what an accomplishment.
I see the sunstroke would get my attention at that point because, well, heat stroke, certainly. But dehydration... What else?
Dehydration, exhaustion, wondering what the hell, and questioning every decision he'd ever made.
Oh, I'm sure.
Every marathon around mile 17.
Bleachers, he must have hit the wall a million
times.
It's
an unbelievable accomplishment. So Eddie Izzard is his name, and he's very, very funny. It's he's not funny anymore. He's just sad.
Crazy.
He's sad and his feet hurt. It's 7:30. We're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Olchek got to it. Olchek busting at center ice, comes over the line, shooting. He's gone!
I bet that never gets old if you're ready, oh. Probably has that as his ringtone. Your Chicago Blackhawks legend, your TV wingman, Eddie Olchek, joins us. Good morning, bud.
Hey, Steve. Good morning. And you know what? Just for the record, Paul Coffey was one of the fastest hockey players in NHL history, just for the record. You know that, right?
Did you give him a little head fake? What did you do on that move? Do you remember? A little head fake?
Oh, I went inside, outside. Yeah, it was a playoff game. Yeah, skate left, shoot right, and beat Grant Fuhr. So a couple of Hall of Famers there I just put in my rear view mirror.
Made them look silly.
That was probably the only time that ever happened, by the way.
That's a good night at work, I'll tell you that. Hey, before we talk about our Blackhawks, and we're a little concerned, so we're here for comfort, but talk to us about Matt Olson and what I think is one of the coolest things to see two professional sports franchises get together over this kid. Give us the backstory on this.
Yeah, well, there's been a young hockey player that was seriously hurt in a hockey game here playing for the Chicago Cougars, a junior team, Steve, in the northwest suburbs, and he's originally from northern Minnesota, about an hour outside Minneapolis, and I say into Minnesota. And he had a devastating hockey injury, and the Blackhawks and the Minnesota Wild have come together, two divisional foes, two teams that battled last night, and come up with this initiative. Obviously, Rocky Wirtz, John McDonough, Jay Blunk, and the entire Blackhawk organization, along with the Minnesota Wild, Mr. Leopold, and Matt Maka, their COO, and they came together and said, look, how can we help this young hockey player and his family, besides the thoughts and prayers from all the great hockey fans of both places? And what they've done is they've come up with this initiative where they're going to have a fundraiser for Matt, and they have these auction items that are up right now. You can go to the Blackhawk website, chicagoblackhawks.com, or the Minnesota Wild website, and can go on the auction items, and all the money is going to go to Matt and to his family. I know he also has a GoFundMe page, but it's great to see the hockey community and two great hockey teams and fan bases that want to help one of our own, and that's what hockey is, Steve. As you know, it's hockey is family. And it's important for us to do whatever we can to help Matt. He's in a battle, and we want the great hockey fans out there to know that there's a way for them to help out a young hockey player 20 years of age that is in a lot of distress. Andrew Shaw, two of the three Andrews on the Blackhawk team, Andrew Shaw and Andrew Desjardins, went and visited Matt in the hospital, I believe it was last week, and it was the day after the L.A. game. And Matt is very aware, but obviously has a difficult time speaking and what have you, but he's a big hockey fan. He's a big Minnesota Wild fan, obviously being from Minnesota. But when both Andrew Shaw and Andrew Desjardins came into his room to visit with him and becoming a Chicagoan because he was playing here, you know, he follows the Blackhawks and knows the Blackhawks extremely well. But when those two Blackhawk players came into his room, they introduced themselves, and the first thing Matt said to them was, "What happened last night?" And that was the game that the Blackhawks obviously had lost to the LA Kings 5-0. But so he's very much aware, and I think that kind of broke the ice for those guys of being and going visiting Matt, and just a great gesture by Andrew Shaw and Andrew Desjardins to try to go.
And you've been to see
make him feel a little bit better.
You've been to see this young man as well, and he truly is in the fight of his life. But you know, it's. And Eddie knows this. It's not taking anything away from Eddie doing it. There's a world of difference between, you know, guys who have families and grow up and realize the fragility of life, yeah. And a couple of kids in their 20s walking into a room. And again, it's a testament to hockey. It's a testament to family. It's a testament to this organization where these guys not only don't have to be told to do this, they're ready to do this at the drop of their hat.
Yeah, and there's no, you know, look, I mean, we've had this discussion before, Steve. I mean, this is something that you just do. You go for support of the family. Matt's mom and dad, Doug and Sue, are terrific people. His girlfriend down from Corpus Christi, Texas, Katie, has been in town this last week and a half or so, and you know, Matt had played hockey down in Corpus Christi, Texas, and then moved up here to the great city of Chicago and playing for the Chicago Cougars. And again, I mean, just obviously an unfortunate accident, and you know, it's up to us in the hockey community to let Matt know that, you know, we're here for him and for his family, and they have a long battle ahead of them, and the people out at Bluefin General Hospital have done just an amazing job of not only obviously taking care of Matt, but also taking care of his mom and dad. And they were at the hockey game last night. Again, the Blackhawks just doing whatever they can for the family. And, you know, it doesn't surprise us, Steve, because we know how great the Blackhawk organization is behind the scenes. I mean, there are a lot of things that people see with this franchise does on a daily basis, but there are a lot of things that people don't see. And I think that's even more important, is that the Blackhawks do things because they know it's right, and I couldn't be more proud of them on this initiative. So again, go to the Blackhawk website, go to the Minnesota Wild website, and help Matt out. You can be a Blackhawk for a day. There's a trip on there to go with on the team plane and the hotel, and go to a road trip, and there's just so many great items there, and any help that people can give Matt and his family would be greatly appreciated. But even those prayers out there would be wanted. And like I said, hockey is family, and this is what we do. And we're going to do whatever we can to help Matt because he's got a long battle ahead of him.
Yeah, and Steve and Eddie, this online auction is underway now until noon on Wednesday the 30th. The Blackhawks play in Minnesota next week. And there's also a link to Matt's GoFundMe page. And all the auction items.
And you can make a cash donation to the bank, too, that there's a fund at the bank.
Right.
So there's lots of ways to help.
Yeah. But that auction item, Eddie, that you mentioned, the Be a Blackhawk for a Day, I want to buy this for Steve. Mm-hmm. Don't you think he'd be perfect? You sign a one-day contract with the Blackhawks general manager, Stan Bowman.
Yep.
You get your own stall in the Blackhawks locker room. Mm-hmm. You suit up for practice. You practice with the team. You eat lunch with members of the team.
I could do that.
You talk to the strength coach, equipment manager, you watch practice.
Yeah.
I think you're in.
Hey, David, you know what? I could see that coming. I could see Steve walking in. Somebody's carrying his bag. He's got his sticks in his hand. And then once he, you know, because NHL, and I live this as a coach and as a player, now as a broadcast, you know, NHL doesn't stand for National Hockey League. It stands for Never Hungry League because there's always food around.
Yeah, so I'd take care of that business.
Steve would walk in. He'd see the trainer, and I think I could just see him. He'd take his left hand and he'd put it in the center of his back and go, I don't think I can practice
Not today.
I'm gonna go over here to the buffet line here, and all you're gonna hear is.
But the upper body or lower body?
I'd be both in my case.
Body soreness, but how great would that be for somebody? You know, whether you're a Wild fan or a Blackhawk fan,
do it.
A hockey fan,
make a bid, people. Come on, this kid and his family are, you know, these stories happen. But yeah. I think it's such a good feeling and such a testament to hockey, as you said. All right, we got to talk about this hockey team right after traffic. Mary, what's happening?
Well, we do have IDOT are confirming that there were some shots. Police is saying there were some shots fired up on side of the Edens. Two left lanes are blocked off at TUI. The exit ramp is also closed off. There's a police investigation going on there. They're looking for some shell casings. So once again, outbound Edens at TUI, the exit ramp is closed off. Inbound Kennedy 34 from O'Hare 32 out. The inbound Ikes an hour 10 from 53. 35 minutes from Mannheim. Inbound Stevenson's 45 from the Tri-State. The Ryan's 20. Not too bad on the tolls this morning. Lakeshore Drive filling in from Wilson to Fullerton. Traffic sponsored by 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven's new steak and cheese melt with USDA Choice Steak, roasted onions and peppers, just $3.49. Try one now at 7-Eleven. Awesomeness guaranteed. Mary Vandeville, WGN Traffic Central.
And in case it didn't get mentioned or I forgot, Conasec and Dillon sponsored the big story a few minutes ago. I think you did it, Dave, but just want to cover our bases here. Back to Eddie Olczyk. All right, so this is a team that has way too much talent to be in a funk this late in the season. What's your level of concern?
Well, I mean, I would probably say there's probably, you know, a couple of things here, Steve. I think first off is, you know, probably a little concerned about the, I don't know if it sounds right, but I mean, I just think that you got some guys that are tired right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like anybody else, and I know what that's like, is when you're tired, you make mistakes, you're fatigued, you're just not the same. And at this level, at National Hockey League is, you know, it's, that you're going to be a battle each and every night. So I think that's the first thing. I think you got some tired guys there. And look, it's not an excuse. It's fact. They've played more hockey than any team in the National Hockey League over the course of the last 6 or 7 years. Now, in saying that, you know, they have made a lot of changes. I still think there's some guys that are trying to work their way through the system, and as well as their teammates, you know, getting to know them and trying to gain some chemistry. Goaltending is the least of this team's problem. Let me make it perfectly clear. I know Corey Crawford's on IR right now, but he's had an incredible season. I think he's a finalist for the best goaltender in the National Hockey League, the Vezina Trophy, one of the top three goalies all year. Scott Darling's played really well here. He's got three starts in a row. He may have had two starts, let alone three starts in a row since last year's playoff run against Nashville. So, teams judge themselves against the Blackhawks. Just right now, they're going through a difficult time. But the concern is, Steve, is that it's take the 12-game winning streak out of it. Look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie. And it's been a battle. And they haven't spent as much time with the puck in the offensive zone as they have in the past. And when you don't have the puck, you got to defend. And when you defend, it gets tiring. So they got to find a way to get out of this. It was a good hockey game last night. Look, for long stretches, Minnesota really outplayed the Blackhawks, especially in that third period where they were dominating them in shots, and the Hawks were able to, kind of find their game and eventually get to overtime. But Andrew Shaw had a terrific game. We mentioned Andrew last a little bit earlier, but Andrew had a really good game and a beautiful goal. So I think it's a combination of things, Steve, and I'd like to think as a former player and coach in this league is that the Blackhawks see where they are. They've been there. They've done that. Three championships in 6 years. It's get us to the playoffs. You know, like, let's just get to the playoffs. But don't look now, but the Nashville Predators are right on your backside. And the last thing you want to be doing is falling out of the top three spots in the Central Division because, you know, if you're a wild card team, you're going out west and taking on L.A. or Anaheim in the first round. So 9 games to go. As long as they're playing their game going into the playoffs, they're going to make a run. And you know, we'll see what happens in the second week of April.
Eddie, can that, knowing the reality of the situation, the way that Nashville has surged behind them, and they still have a chance to overtake the teams ahead of them, may not be mathematically a great chance now, but you have nine games left, and you got a head-to-head with Dallas, and you got a chance against St. Louis at home also. Does that maybe carry a team through whatever fatigue they might be feeling at this point? Maybe they suck it up for the last nine games of the regular season?
Well, David, you've been around this game and sports a long, long time, and I mean, urgency is something that I don't think you can ever underestimate. And yeah, I think that, you know, those could be the type of games that, you know, that can help you forge ahead and get you through this tough time. But, you know, look what happened in Dallas, you know, whatever it was, a week and a half ago, whatever the day was. I mean, the Hawks just threw a dud and weren't able to, you know, to find a way. So, you know, look, you can, you know, you gotta find a way, and you have to make sure that regardless of who you're playing, is that you got to be playing your best hockey going into the playoffs. And I think for the Blackhawks, the inconsistency certainly is a concern, because since that 12-game winning streak, the Blackhawks, if you just take wins and losses and take the shootout out of it, yep, if you just take wins and losses, you know, the Blackhawks are a couple of games under 500 over the course of the last 23 and 24 games, and we haven't seen this from this team in a long, long time. So they got to find their game, find it quickly, get more consistent, and Joel Quenneville is as good as any coach I've seen in any sport be able to handle the end of a regular season. He understands that rest is more important than practice. So expect a lot of rest for this team moving forward, because, like I said, you've had a lot of guys play a lot of hockey here over the course of a long period of time.
You know, the new guys coming in, pressing for a while, it's probably more is difficult, but a lot of this falls on Q, right? Switching up lines. You were talking about this last night on TV. So what's the line king do here that he hasn't already tried?
Well, I mean, last night, I mean, he stayed pretty consistent there with the lines. I mean, it just happened. I mean, that there was a makeshift line there. Andrew Shaw happened to be on the ice with Panarin and Kane, and Andrew made just a beautiful move there around Ryan Suter and put the puck in the back of the net. You know, I felt as a player, Steve, is that I always like some sort of familiarity with my line mates. Like, I like that, especially if I had one guy. Like, if I had a winger that I really enjoyed playing with. Like, look, for a long period of time, I played with the great Troy Murray here with the Blackhawks. I mean, and when I was on the left side, there was just a comfort there between me and Troy. You know, but look, Joel, he has an incredible feel. I mean, look what happened in Winnipeg the other night. Perfect example. Not much going on. What did he do? He flip-flopped Kane and Hossa on their respective lines. So he moved Hossa down to Anisimov and Panarin, and he bumped Kaner up with Taves and Ladd. And what happened? Back-to-back shifts. Kane scored and Hossa scored. So, you know, I know sometimes it may be frustrating for fans, but Joel, again, it's all about feel, and you can have all the analytics and all the numbers you want, Steve, but Joel has a feel, and it's worked incredibly well for him. And but, you know, they got to find a way to get some consistency from somebody. And look, I like the way that the Teravainen and Weiss Fleischmann line played the other night in Winnipeg. I thought they had a really good game. Last night, not so much. But, you know, so again, two new guys, you know, coming into the fold and worrying about a lot of different things. But I think that's the least of the issues, is trusting or is worrying about Joel on who's playing with who. Trust him, because he's done it, and you know he's going to push the right buttons.
Can you say, I'll end on this. Can you save yourself for the playoffs? In other words, could you go 80% now just to guarantee a top three finish because of the playoff run?
That's dangerous.
It is.
It is. That's dangerous. I mean, you know, the body, you know, the mind maybe, but you're going out there like that physically. There's only bad that can happen. So I, you know, you go out there and you play, but I think mentally, sure, you're, you know, hey, look at, I don't care what line of work it is. It doesn't matter. Fatigue happens to everybody. And the mind is, I mean, such a powerful thing.
Sure.
Is that, you know, you can sit there and, okay, you know, you just, you know, you go. But the idea is that, I mean, if you go out there and just, you know, kind of want to go through the motions or whatever, bad things are going to happen besides losing hockey games and probably getting into the Chateau Bow of Coach Q. I mean, you got to go out there and play, and whatever happens.
That's a bad club. You don't want to be there. That's no good at all. But the point you make about fatigue and cumulative fatigue, yeah. Man, you go all the way back to the Olympics. You got three cups. You got, with success becomes opportunity, but also responsibility. Everybody wants a piece of you. It's no wonder these guys would be tired.
Yeah, no, hey, that's the price of success. That's the price of new contracts. And you're going to need everybody, right? You're going to need, and I didn't mention this either, Steve and David. Is Andrea there today? I don't even know.
She's actually in Arizona monitoring this call.
She is. Okay, well, let her know I was thinking about her.
Big surprise.
I just, if you look at the defense, too, to me, last year, Joel only pretty much played four defensemen last year in the playoffs, right? And Johnny Oduya didn't re-sign here and is now in Dallas. So, who is going to be that guy to play behind the big three, behind Duncan Keith and Nicholas Chalmers and Fred Seabrook? Who's going to be that fourth guy?
Right.
And that's, that's a concern as well. So, I think for the Blackhawks, there's a price to pay with success. The team still has one goal. We know what the mantra is. We know everything about that. And sometimes you got to you got to gut it out. You got to find a way and just get into the playoffs. And, look, they could go on a nice run here, Steve and David, and all of a sudden they win the division and, they're playing the second wild card team. Look, there's a lot of hockey to be played. But the reality is that regardless of where this team finishes in the playoffs, most people are going to sit there and, outside the city of Chicago and go, it's a dangerous team. You don't want to play them. They have the experience.
Right.
So just get in, play, get playing well. More consistency, get playing well, and whatever happens, happens, comes the second week of April.
Thank you, buddy, and thanks for all you do all the time. Regardless of the needle back and forth between you and I and the rest of us, you are an exceptional individual and a good man, and proud to call you our friend because you're getting it done on a lot of levels for this town that people don't know about. So well done by you. Travel safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Very, very nice to see you. Thanks a lot for having me, and everybody think about Matt Olson and his family. So we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.
And Mike, what did you have for me?
So we have all the information about Matt Olson and how you can contribute to that fund at WGNRadio.com.
Dave has a message. I do as well. But first this, looking forward to your tax refund. So our identity thieves, all identity thieves need to file a tax refund is your Social Security number and your date of birth. I use Eddie's number. I use Eddie's Social Security number in a lot of cases.
See, that's one of those things he's getting done that people don't know.
That's what I'm getting done.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
back from Los Angeles.
And the brink of death.
Where he was infecting celebrities left and right. I assume you passed on whatever cold flu thing you had to all the A-list celebrities you talked to.
When I sit down, anybody can walk into a room and shake hands with people.
You make out with most of your guests, don't you?
You put a full lip lock on them.
Yeah.
And they remember you. It loosens them up a little bit for the interview. But unfortunately, I don't know that germy Ben Affleck. I don't know who it was that I caught a cold while I was there.
Nice.
Couldn't have been the cesspool airplanes that I've been in, all week long. The Petri dishes that I fly in.
I wonder about your lifestyle. You're flying to the East Coast. You're flying to the West Coast. You're hanging around with these shady A-list celebrities.
Right. Germ-filled celebrity A-list.
Yeah, I feel like you should be tested every 20 or 30 minutes.
It's possible. That's possible. I may have. I feel like I'm probably like a, like a nurse that works in a hospital, that I'm resistant to anything. Never mind Henry Cavill. I am Superman.
There's no doubt about it.
Except I caught a cold. So how super am I, really?
I want to get our special guest in here before we finish today, and that would, of course, be the 1 week late congratulations to Jarrett Payton for his victory on Celebrity Dancing with the Stars here in Chicago.
Better late than never, though.
The new Dancing with the Stars is on tonight, and I know you're on Pins and Needles.
I am? Yes, I am.
Mary, who are we most looking forward to?
Most looking forward to, well, we have Geraldo.
That's right. We're most looking forward to Geraldo.
Is Cloris Leachman on this time?
No. Geraldo is the
oldest. She can't be on every one, Dean.
No. We have Kim Fields and Jody Sweetin. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Three football players.
They are really scraping. Nothing against.
Yeah.
What did you say? Toady Fields?
Kim from Facts of Life.
Toady Fields. No. Toady Fields been dead for years.
For like 40
Fields.
Years.
Yeah.
But Ginger Z.
It's just a matter of time till they start extricating people and propping them up on the dance floor.
Steve Dale is on Dancing with the Stars.
With Marla. Marla Maples.
Marla Maples is on?
I can't.
That's
up.
Not related to Trump, is it? They wouldn't put her on just because Trump's a story.
I don't know. No. I think they've been trying to get her for a while.
Yeah.
TV network being up. Opportunistic.
No,
like
no.
Never happened.
So that's tonight. Eddie, we talked about this Eddie Izzard thing. I love Eddie as a comedian. And I don't know if you remember this, Dean, but he started out as this cross-dressing sort of chubby dude
right.
in a dress. And he got on his fitness kick a few years ago. But, I mean, running 27 marathons in 27 days and then finishing with a double? Are you kidding?
That is, you know, you see the physical challenge that somebody goes through when they run a marathon,
yeah.
one marathon, 26.2 or 3, whatever,
yeah.
whatever it is. I've done it so many times I don't even remember.
It's 0.2, but who's
exactly?
Gonna.
But you know, 26.2 miles. That's physically grinding. He does 27 of them in a row, and raised over $1 million, all in honor of former South African president Nelson Mandela, a marathon a day for all the years that President Mandela was.
Oh, that's where the number came from. Okay, that makes sense.
That's where the 27 came from.
All right.
But that's remarkable. That's absolutely amazing.
It really is.
And some of them in high heels.
So right.
For Eddie, that was.
The shin splints are going to be brutal. So a kid goes to a Springsteen concert. Pick it up from there.
His dad takes him to a Springsteen concert. He's like 10 years old, which I think is cool. You take, you know, it's no Adam LaRoche story, but he takes his kid to a Springsteen
sure.
concert, knows he's going to be out late. So they make a giant sign that says, "Hey, Bruce, will you sign my tardy excuse note for me to give to my teacher?" He holds up the sign in the concert. Springsteen sees the sign, calls him backstage, and writes out a note to the teacher. I forget the kid's name.
How great is that?
So-and-so was at my concert rocking last night. Please excuse him for being late this morning. Bruce Springsteen then signs the note, gives it to the teacher. The teacher gets an autographed Bruce Springsteen note. Pretty cool.
Of course, the first thing she said was, "Who wrote this? Timmy."
Exactly. Exactly right.
That's love that story.
Very cool, though.
And then Reese Witherspoon had herself a special guest at her 40th birthday party.
She turned 40 and has a private birthday party that you pretty unusual, having Taylor Swift perform at your private birthday party, having Keith Urban perform at your private birthday party. Jennifer Aniston was there. A lot of A-listers were all there. From what I could gather, looking at photographs and like Instagrams that they put up, looks like they had it at a Chuck E. Cheese or something like that. It looks like that kind of birthday party, except Taylor Swift was singing and Keith Urban was performing. Reese Witherspoon gets on stage and sings Sweet Home Alabama for the crowd.
Nice. Very nice. Prince is writing a memoir. We'll get back to that later. It's called I Know I'm Weird.
Your close personal
very
friend.
Cool. Yeah, very good friends.
I'll be two or three chapters just on Steve in that book.
There's a chapter called Steve Needs to Say We're Close Friends. We spent 10 minutes together. And then Batman versus Superman. You talk to everybody. Everybody.
In that movie, so literally, we sure did. We talked to Ben Affleck, who is the new Batman, and Henry Cavill, who is Superman. Amy Adams is Lois Lane. Jesse Eisenberg, you know, mm-hmm. Jesse Eisenberg,
sure.
who was Mark Zuckerberg in Social Network. He's
right.
The new Lex Luthor. Interesting choice for Lex Luthor.
Does he pull it off? This is not a review?
This is definitely not a review. I think he ultimately does pull it off. If you're patient, I think he does pull it off as Lex Luthor. Lawrence Fishburne is back as Perry White. Israeli actress Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman.
Yes, she is.
She's the Wonder Woman. Who else is in the movie? Who have I left out here?
Abe Vigoda.
Abe Vigoda has a small role as Aquaman.
Ron Majors.
In the movie as the Beaver.
Right. And Adam LaRoche's son.
How he got in the movie, we're not 100% sure.
You got a clip from Affleck?
Well, this is Affleck talking about, you know, being the latest in the long line of a lot of A-listers to play Batman. But I think the more interesting cut that you'll also hear part of this is Superman talking about peeing.
Well, I don't think you can, like, worry about where you're going to end up in the list of favorite Batman, you know, play the part. I mean, that's, like, for just...
Or even what kind of criticism you're going to get. I mean, it's almost like
every time you do
you
a movie,
like the challenge, right?
Every movie you do, it gets reviewed. It gets criticized. And every time you go outside, and especially nowadays, unfortunately, even with your kids or whatever, you know, with your family, there's the people take photographs and comment on it and remark on it. So it's just a function of daily life, you know, if you want to do this kind of work. And, you know, so, you should just be equipped and ready for that if you want to do it. So that doesn't worry me. I don't get bent out of shape worrying about, like, what are people going to say. I just worry about trying to do my job as well as I possibly can.
Talk to me about the physical role. This was a different suit this time, I heard.
The suit's ever so slightly different. We have a bit of Kryptonian language in there on the S-shield and on the sleeve. And a very important addition was a zipper, so I could use the restroom whenever I wanted. It was a bit of a problem.
You would think that it wouldn't have taken this long to give Superman a zipper.
You'd think so, but no one thought of it until this movie.
More with Dean coming up and our special guest, Jared Payton, in a moment. And as always, with all the Dean interviews, check out the podcast of the Sunday Morning Show. See it at WGN-TV's website or go to Dean's house, 825 on 720 WGN. Dean Richards, of course, a six-time winner of Dancing with the Stars.
I don't like to brag.
He's got more mirror balls in his house than he could count.
If that's what you want to call them.
Jared Payton joins us. And I feel bad, JP, because we should have thanked you or congratulated you on this a week ago. And it wasn't until I was listening to The Beat this weekend that I found out you actually won.
Yeah, you know what? It was a great experience. And I'm just taking after my dad, who... you know, stole the show in Soul Train back in the 70s with his cut-off shirt on, and got to keep the tradition in the family going. But it was one of those experiences that I had that I didn't think I really wanted to do at first, but once you get on the dance floor, the music takes your body over, so it was a great time.
What dance did you do?
We did, like, a swing dance and a little bit up-tempo, and I wanted to be able to show off kind of my skills, you know, fast footwork and stuff that I did with football. And it's so funny how it mirrors, Steve, kind of football in the sense of when you look at these guys that have won, they all have, like, athletes, they all have that ability to kind of go through a pattern and go through plays. Well, it's very similar to, you know, being on the dance floor, and kind of took everything that I learned in football, brought it in. I only had nine lessons. And
well, that's pretty good.
I know the video on my Facebook page has over 120,000 views, so everybody in the world is seeing it. Now I go walk around places in the city. People are like, hey, Twinkle Toes. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
man.
People want to dance with Jared. By the way, Dean, you may not know this, but the football thing is so real for Jared. He actually had empty tires laid out, and he would only dance if he could put his feet in between tires.
I remember seeing that on the footage. Right.
Yeah. So it's a real test of his agility. So what do you do with this trophy now? What do you do? Where do you take it to the next step other than taking your lovely wife dancing?
Well, I'm trying to take her dancing as well. We got our baby girl coming in 3 weeks, so there's no dancing for her right now.
Might speed things up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. But after our baby daughter is born, we're definitely going to start taking more and more dance lessons just to really just have a good time. It's great exercise. I mean, it's great to kind of get back into the groove and hang out. And so,
and it was the Arthur Murray folks that did this for you?
Yes, Arthur Murray. I was in Schaumburg, but there's eight locations around the Chicagoland area. So
this is a big benefit for breast cancer, Steve. This Dancing with Chicago
Celebrity. It's a big deal every year.
It's a huge, huge thing every year. So not only a lot of fun showing off Jarrett and everyone else's skills, but a tremendous amount of money was raised for breast cancer research and services and all that. I see a Steve Cochran in this next year, Jarrett, don't you?
I was asked to participate this year, and I respectfully declined.
Let me tell you, I think you should do it, Steve. But look, the theme, like you said, I mean, we raised over $250,000 for breast cancer here in the Chicagoland area. And I think I was more upset that I didn't win that challenge, and because there's two different. Cheryl Scott won that challenge for the fundraising.
Oh, Cheryl Scott. Oh, everybody's favorite Cheryl Scott. Just because she's super cute and really good at her job, whatever.
So what I was going to do was, I just didn't have enough time. I was going to put a dress on and throw it up on Twitter and social media. Hopefully maybe I'd get some more money, but it didn't happen that way.
Again, I say Steve Cochran should be in this.
Now we're talking about something I understand. Thank you, JP. Jared Payton.
They asked me to be in
this. And Payton's son.
Too, Steve, if you are my dance partner next year, I'll do it.
You know what? It would be like that Will Ferrell movie. Remember the Will Ferrell movie where pairs ice skating?
Yeah, the ice skating movie.
Dean and I are going to do a tandem thing next year.
Oh, that'll be fantastic.
All right. Feel better, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Digger Phelps, the legendary Notre Dame coach at 9:10. Kevin Powell, the legendary former producer of the show. Well, I guess he's a former producer. I shouldn't say that. It's a joke.
He's coming back, isn't he, this week?
He's back Wednesday.
Maybe?
He's back on Wednesday. And we'll both be out in the next hour. And you can go to WGNradio.com, WGN Radio, the app. You can also go to TuneIn. You can subscribe to iTunes. You can go anywhere you can get podcasts. You're likely to get the Steve Cochran Show, and we hope you do. And you'll get the best of Mary, the best of Dave Innitt. You'll be able to listen to the show on your time, in your way, when you want to. I mean, if I could do this show that way, you know, just later in the day when I have time.
When you feel like it?
Yeah. Have you found that it's harder to get up at the hour that you get up, or you've been doing it so long that it never changes for you?
It doesn't really change for me, and I have been doing it a long time. I think it's easier. I don't know if you feel this way. It's easier when the weather gets nicer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the spring and the summer. It's those. Those winter mornings where you know it's below zero when you step outside, and it just feels much.
Well, I stayed up too late watching the Hawks last night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I started doing morning shows on the radio, 1981 or 2 or something? Yes. It was easier then. Here's a revelation. At 55, it's harder to get up than it was at 25. Write that down.
Don't you think that might be true whatever time you were getting up?
You think? Yeah, it probably is.
Did you make it through the shootout?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was up late.
Weren't you guys watching the tournament instead? I was.
Well, it was over by then.
Yeah. Well, it was never over, was it?
It isn't over till Mary says it is.
I think it was like game after game after game.
There's a state-of-the-art research ship that the United Kingdom National Environment Research Council is spending $300 million on. $300 million. Do all sorts of seafaring research. Research could be important to the UK, important to the world. The problem is the UK government decided they would turn it over to the internet to name the ship. The internet found that quite funny. So it's not named the Endeavour, the Falcon. It's not named the David Attenborough or even the David Niven. It'll carry 90 scientists and additional staff in the Arctic Ocean on one of its initial voyages. Here are some of the names suggested by Brits. I'm the captain now. It's bloody cold here. Ice, ice, baby. And not the Titanic, but the leader in the clubhouse right now. The leader in the clubhouse, and I'm pretty sure they're not going to stick with this, is Bodie McBoatface.
good.
If you're going to spend $300 million on a ship, I don't think you want to name it Bodie McBoatface, though it is memorable. And dealing those long, 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 always dark nights in the Antarctic where you're just waiting to leave and come home and you're questioning every decision you ever made. Maybe being on Bodie McBoatface would give you a giggle.
Could.
I'm just saying.
I like I'm the captain now.
I'm the captain now. I love CNBC. I probably watch a little bit too much of it. I could be out making my own money and not watching other people talk about their money. But I think they do some fine programming. And as we continue in the Wintrust Community Banks Hour, want to welcome Tillman Fertitta to the program, talking about Billion Dollar Buyer, new show premiering tomorrow night on CNBC. Good morning, sir.
How are you guys? I'm glad to see y'all solving the problems over the pond over there.
Yes, we are working on it. Don't you think Bodie McBoatface is the right name for a British ship?
I think that they could have done a little better than that one, but those are our good friends over there, so you know how they are.
Tillman's been frequently featured in the nation's top financial and industrial publications and as a regular guest on regular programs on CNBC, and basically every time everybody else talks about business. What's your background? Where'd you make your money?
You know, it's kind of interesting. Started out with one restaurant in 1986 and have about 500 of them now and about a dozen hotels and the five Golden Nugget casinos. And, you know, it's interesting. I was just looking since I was talking to Chicago, and I didn't even realize this. I have 17 restaurants in the Chicago area.
That's how you know you're successful, you know, when you don't know where your restaurants are.
But I knew I had them there. I've been to a lot of them. I never sat there and did the count. But it's amazing from Mastro's to Bubba Gump on the Pier, to Martin's, to Claim Jumper, to McCormick and Schmick.
Sure.
So I'm all over Chicago. I love Chicago. It's really one of the great cities out there. It's an interesting place.
Now you have
good financial market too.
Yeah, it is. You have more than enough to do in your day. Why would you take on a TV show?
You know, I've been guest hosting and appearing on CNBC for years, and they asked me to do this because there's only a few people that could really fit it that maybe have a little range and personality, but at the same time it's kind of going back to the beginning where I would meet with small companies and mentor them and buy supplies from them. And it's kind of fun to get back and do that again. And that's what every week it's a concept story on. You meet two small companies, you help mentor their business, you show them what they're going to have to do to scale up their business, and you'll either buy from one or both or neither, and it's a fun show. I think that people will see that it moves really fast, and at the end there's a lot of drama in it, and you get to see a lot of different personalities, and it's going to be enjoyable.
So the difference here, as opposed to some other business shows we've seen or business reality shows, is you're going to pit two businesses against each other. They're going to sell you on what they have to offer as vendors, and you're going to buy their stuff from one of them at the end of the show?
Yeah, but I'm really not pitting them against each other. They really are out there on their own, and like I said, at the end of the show, I can buy from both of them or not either one of them. But what really, I think, makes it different is we do it on location. We're not sitting in a studio like a lot of other shows, so you're in all different sites around the country, and it's very fast moving, lots of different scenes, and it just doesn't drag like a lot of shows because of all the action and moving around.
Yeah, and it's fresh that way. And these are transformative moments for these businesses because you could place an order that's big enough if they sell you and you like what they're doing and they listen to your advice. You could place an order that could change their world.
Well, and that's really the story of the show. You're taking companies that are doing anywhere from 100,000 in sales to maybe a few hundred thousand in sales. And you got to remember, you know, my company, I spend $1 million in sheets a year. I spend $1 million just on playing cards for the casinos. But yet at the same time, I buy $20 million worth of shrimp and $20 million worth of beef. So my buying power from so many different types of materials gives me a lot of ability and can really make a difference with a lot of these young companies. And to see the ups and downs in the show, I think people are going to really find it interesting. You know, the casting department did a great job of bringing in really interesting companies, and it's a lot of fun.
Talking with Tillman Fertitta, and Tillman is the guy that is going to be the host, the star, whether he likes to be called a star or not, of Billion Dollar Buyer. Premieres tomorrow night at 9 on CNBC. You're going to talk about, you know, show business. Who got you your big break? But there's a point in business where you go from successful to really successful to one of the very few. You're one of the very few now. When did you know you got to that level?
You know, it's kind of funny. I mean, I guess when you make the Forbes 400, you kind of wake up one morning, because if you're a kid and you're an entrepreneur and you always wanted to be successful, I guess when you wake up one morning and see yourself on that list,
that's pretty good.
You realize, you know what, there's only 400 of us in America. So I would say, and my success has happened over a long period of time, but that's probably the barometer, I would say, that you just kind of say, God, maybe I did make it.
I got my last question for you. Considering the business parallels, do you know Trump? Have you swam in that circle?
Yeah, absolutely. I do.
And his business acumen is he's certainly not afraid to tout it. And I don't know if you support him or don't support him, but that's your politics. But is he a good business guy, or is he a business guy that's a lot of talk?
You know, Donald Trump is a good businessman. He knows how to make a deal. He knows how to get things done and not get caught up in the bureaucracy. He's a very, very, very nice gentleman in a small group and one-on-one. I can tell you this, he has something to say nice about everybody. Just don't say anything bad about him.
Right, right.
He will not come after you.
Right.
But he really will never, ever attack anybody first. He truly plays it from the defense side, and it's just people jack with him and take personal shots at him. And I go back before he was running for president. Donald Trump would never, you sit in a room and start talking about people. He has nothing nice to say about anybody. And so he probably is a little bit misunderstood. But what he is better than anybody, he makes Barnum and Bailey, the greatest showman of all time, look like an amateur, okay?
He does know how to sell it, doesn't he?
Job. I mean, he wins the all-time Oscar in the history of the world. Nobody has ever been able to promote themselves like he has.
Yeah.
You just got to give him credit. When you're the best at something, you're number one, and he is number one when it comes to what he did to promote himself.
Right. Now, does that make you a president? That'll be determined. But anyway, I wish you nothing but luck with this show. Based on your career path, I like your chances. And Tillman, you're always welcome here.
Thank you so much, Steve. And we hope to talk to you all soon. And thank you very much.
Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock on CNBC. It's just another billionaire on the show, Tillman Fertitta. You know, I probably should have taken Trump's side on a few things, and then I could have had Trump and Fertitta fighting over me. Like a billionaire standoff.
You think that could have happened?
Sure. Yeah. Trump's still turning down the show? Yeah, I'm being told he is. I can't imagine why.
Jackson, off the glass. August, no tip. Oh, yes!
1.5 seconds. Don't let them get a running start. We've seen that already in this tournament.
It was the defensive specialist, Pfluger, who got it. The buzzer, Notre Dame wins it.
Ah, can you imagine being Digger this weekend, watching all that wild first weekend of hoops? Crazy. The great Digger Phelps joins us now. Where were you? Were you just watching at home?
Oh, yeah. That's me.
Yeah.
Flipping channels, watching them all, but staying with the Irish since I was the only game on at that time yesterday. But it was an amazing last 2 minutes to take a 6-0 run when you're down five. And, boy, we saw a lot of that over the weekend. I mean, the Irish, obviously, very happy to be back in a Sweet 16. And they'll have a tough game against Wisconsin. Wisconsin's one of those teams that we saw what Koenig did in that last shot. How about that? I mean, we talk about the Notre Dame win, but to make that three at the buzzer, that was incredible. That goes back to when Christian Laettner did that for Duke back when.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I just think the game everybody's talking about is Northern Iowa.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I couldn't believe they're up 12 with 44 seconds.
Ever see anything like that?
Not like that. I know we were down 11 with 3:22 against UCLA to end that game winning streak,
right.
Shutting them out 12-0. But we had 3 minutes and 22 seconds to do it. But in 44 seconds, you know, this gets into where I want the fans to know and understand three things. One, your press offense, full court press offense, when a team's coming after you, you should run your offense between the circle of the free throw line and the half court circle. Why? So that you don't get trapped in the corner.
Right.
That's the first thing. I don't understand why that still goes on. When you see guys start on the free throw line, they break up, they force you in a corner, and they trap. You can't get out because the sideline and the end line are part of that four-man trap, so to speak.
Right.
The other thing is, I don't understand why teams, when you're going for that last shot, and there's like 20 seconds to go, and you'll see them dribble, 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 dribble. Now there's 8, 7. Now they go, and they end up with nothing. Well, to me, we always win at 12 seconds because if we got a play messed up, a bad dribble, a bad pass, we still got the control, a bad screen. Now we still get that shot off at 5, 4 seconds. We send 5 guys to the glass to get an offensive rebound on a missed shot. And that drives me nuts when you see that happening. And I would say the third thing is this. When you look at time and score, you do that in practice situations. You go over all these things. And we used to do that the last, say, 10 minutes of practice. I remember one year we go up to Syracuse.
Right.
And we're down 2. And we got the ball out of bounds full court. But I need 3 seconds to run this play. And there's and the official score had 4 on the clock. I mean, it had 2 on the clock. So I yell at him and the referee, we should get 4 because I know then they'll give me 3. Well, we ran the play. So LaFonso Ellis gets the pass. We throw a full court break. 3 guys from half court up towards the ball so they front us. They turn and break for the basket. Fonz throws the ball to Albert Bennett. He hits a 3. The horn goes off in the air. Okay? We win the game. And those are situations you have to practice. So that, to me, was amazing to see how that game turned out.
Well, but that's the thing. And what you're talking about with Northern Iowa, and, you know, I mentioned this to Dave Ennett earlier today because Coach K brought it up. He goes, you get a lot of 18-year-olds on the court, and I don't know what the makeup of Northern Iowa is, but you get a lot of 18-year-olds on the court, and he goes, some kids get lost at the circus.
Yeah.
You know, bright lights, big city. But everything you just described comes down to coaching, doesn't it?
Well, the thing is this. You may be 18 when you start as a freshman. But I've always said this, after 20 games, you're no longer a freshman. You have a season under your belt.
That's a great point.
And that's where, to me, when I look at even Calipari, when he has those guys, when he had Anthony Davis as a freshman, those guys, they win a national championship. But it still isn't over yet, and this is what's interesting to me. When you look at guards the last 5 years, with the 4 of those 5 national champions, go back to Kemba Walker in Connecticut. They had to win the Big East tournament, which was 5 straight wins. Then they won 6 straight to win a national title. Then it was Anthony Davis in Kentucky. Then the next year, it was Peyton Siva and Louisville. The next year, go back to it's Shabazz Napier and UConn. Last year, it was Tyus Jones and the other freshman that came off the bench, Grayson Allen, and they won a national championship. So we're looking at teams this year. Who is it and what is it? Listen, I love Kansas. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Kansas, to me, with Joe Kim Noah, when he was in Florida, they went back-to-back national championships his junior and senior year. And he's one of those leaders on the floor that makes the other guys play better. Well, Kansas with Perry Ellis. I'm watching Perry Ellis inside. I watch him getting rebounds. I watch him getting loose balls. Then I watch him shoot a 3. Well, Perry Ellis is to Kansas what Joe Kim Noah was to Florida. They are legit. But when I look at them, if they get into a matchup, I'll tell you, Miami and Villanova is going to be interesting because Miami has the guards we're talking about. When you look at Angel Rodriguez and McCollum, they can combine for 50 points, which they did the other day. They had 46. And they will give Villanova fits to make that game with Villanova being a 2 seed. That's going to be an interesting basketball game because Villanova's good. But don't forget, Xavier beat Villanova at one point a year. But Villanova just blew out Iowa. There's where one guards are going to be. Go back to Duke playing Oregon. Grayson Allen is back. You notice how Plumlee was when he broke his nose the next game that he played. He had that face mask. Well, then the next game, which was the NCAA tournament, he was wearing these glasses. By halftime, he took them off, and in the second half, he had 10 points. Well, he's back, and he's one of those guys that can just dominate inside. But Grayson Allen is back. He has that experience. But Oklahoma, to me, when you look at that region in the West, Buddy Hield, 36 points yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Against VCU? He's amazing, and he's a great guard that can score. The most disappointing team that I had to win a national title, first game, first round, they lose to Middle Tennessee. I had Michigan State beating Kansas in the championship game, so that's how good I am. But they just couldn't get it done. You know, that's where it was. But in the East, Notre Dame's going to have a tough game against Wisconsin because Wisconsin is a real, real good basketball team. But if the Irish get in there, they got to play the winner of North Carolina, Indiana. Indiana beat the Irish pretty bad back in early season, but they're a different team today. But Carolina, and here's the difference in what Roy Williams did. Notre Dame beat Carolina here February 6th. When they played them in the semifinals of the ACC tournament, they lost by 31. Why? A guard, Joel Berry II. He has taken the pressure off Marcus Page. He plays both of them, Roy does, but Page is a floater now where he can shoot his three. Joe Berry II runs that team for Carolina, and Hicks comes off the bench. This is a very solid North Carolina team. So these are some of the things you should look for as this weekend comes on, is to see which teams out of these four regions are going to end up in the Final Four.
I mean, I got to tell you, Dave, I wish Digger was still passionate about it. You know what I mean? I mean, he's just,
right.
You know, he's lost a fire.
Digger, I've got to ask you, though, and you alluded to it, because I had Michigan State, too, and I watched them all year.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you explain, you know, it's 15-2 Middle Tennessee, and you're, okay, Tom takes a timeout, and you think, okay, timeout, they're going to come out, a 10-0 run, they'll take control, and they won't look back, and it never happened.
Well, the other reason why it didn't happen, Denzel Valentine, they took him out of the game. So credit their defense for doing that also. I mean, yeah, they jumped out 15-2 because they made, I think, three or four threes in that run. And they were making threes the whole game. But Denzel Valentine was not the guy that goes out and gets 30 points, 15 assists, and 8 rebounds. He didn't have that type of game. And when you look at everybody else with Costello, who's had a great season inside, Forbes, who hit 7 threes against Rutgers, you got to credit Middle Tennessee. They were ready for that game. Michigan State wasn't. And they jumped out 15-2, and Michigan State never got back in it.
You coach kids even at the level you coached at for all those years. The very small minority of them ever make it to the big dance, the biggest dance, to make it to the NBA. You got kids all the time to get their heart broken in this tournament and go on. How big a deal is it for a coach to take a kid aside that blows it at the end of the game and go, this isn't the rest of your life, man. You'll remember it for the rest of your life, but you got to remember the good times. Is that important stuff?
Well, I'll tell you what I used to do with my players, and you got one of them in Chicago named John Paxson.
Yeah.
Here's what we used to teach, leadership. And leadership is this. Find me a guy that's creative, that can be a risk taker, that has the right street smarts, and knows how to be a survivor. That is leadership. You go through experiences in life. I had a guy that played with Pax named Mike Mitchell, who was some Cappuccino High School in San Bruno near San Francisco. Mm-hmm. He played when we got to the regional championship and we lost to Magic Johnson in 79. And he played well in that tournament as a freshman. Sophomore year tears up his knee. Junior year tears up the other side, the same knee. Make him captain the senior year with John Pax. We beat San Francisco here. They were top 10. It was after we beat when they had Cartwright and those guys when they were 29-0. But this was after. He's the only guy in 20 years I gave a game ball to. Why? Because of the things I said. He ends up becoming president of Nestle's USA Beverage.
About that.
So what I'm thinking, and what I'm thinking is, all these guys, when you look at them, you go through life's experiences. And sports, to me, is the greatest teacher for people to go on in their careers, men and women. And if they got those characteristics of leadership, being creative, being a risk taker, having the right street smarts, and knowing how to be the survivor, I'll show you leadership. And that's what these experiences do for you down the road.
How good is Indiana? You mentioned them. How good are they, and how far can they go?
Well, I'll tell you, I was shocked when they lost to Michigan in Indianapolis in the Big Ten tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan stole that game. It was a war all the way at the end. They got it done. But I feel this way now. You get that experience of a loss, and you move forward. Don't forget, a year ago, Duke lost to Notre Dame in the ACC tournament. Coach K had that team ready when they went on to win that national championship. I feel right now the rivalry of Kentucky and Indiana, I mean, to have that rematch, it's amazing how the committee came up with this. Was that just a blind draw?
Right.
I mean, some of these matchups and all that, give me a break. But anyhow, they got that behind them. They know what's in front with North Carolina, and they respect Carolina. And don't forget, back when, early in the year, the ACC Big Ten Challenge, they got beat up pretty bad at Duke. So this is a different, again, Indiana team, like we're seeing a lot of teams being different this time of the year, like even North Carolina. I feel Tom Crean's done a great job with Yogi Ferrell and that team. They've come together, they're playing well, and, of course, beating Kentucky was, you know, let's get it done. They took care of business against Chattanooga. They will have a challenge against Carolina, but it's like this. When you play these games, You're coaching every four-minute clip. It's the first. How do we start the game? We got to come out and be aggressive. We got to control the boards. We have. You control the boards, you control the game. Because the boards give you defensive rebounds to get fast breaks, give you second chance points if you got four going to the glass, no less than three. But sometimes I used to send four to the glass to get second chance points.
Well, as you go into this final weekend, you talked about Notre Dame, or the second to final weekend, you talked about Notre Dame, Wisconsin. You got a few spoilers here and there. Villanova never gets this far. Nobody would be surprised if Kansas gets it done. I don't think people would be surprised if North Carolina gets it done. But who's your real sleeper?
You know what's been amazing? No one's talking about Syracuse right now.
Yeah, how about it?
Yeah. They get in. They're a 10 seed. Okay. They take care of business. And here they are. Getting ready to play Gonzaga. Gonzaga's a very good-sized team inside, but Syracuse's 2-3 zone will surround that. And when I look at Cooney, you talk about a money player. We talk about what goes on with Angel Rodriguez at Miami of Florida. Well, Cooney's the guy for them that makes as good as Robinson is and all those other guys and for Syracuse. To me, Cooney's a clutch player. That zone's going to bother Gonzaga because they don't have the shooting guards like they used to have. So it's going to be interesting to see if Syracuse ends up. But understand this. This Iowa State-Virginia matchup is going to be interesting with Buddy Hield. And, of course, when I look at Virginia, they're so balanced. They're going to want to play this game in the 60s. And Iowa State's going to want to play in the 80s. So it's going to be one of those games where which team controls Temple? Half-court defense, half-court offense. So that's what that's going to be. But Syracuse, to see them now back in the Sweet 16, and back when they had that losing streak when Boeheim was out, to show you what a season is, and then they're like maybe a bubble team getting in. Well, here they are in the Sweet 16, and that's, again, Jim Boeheim, coaching experience, being the Final Four, like Coach K at Duke being the Final Four, and Bill Self at Kansas being the Final Four, and Roy Williams being there and winning championships, too, from when he was a coach at Kansas getting to the Final Four and North Carolina getting to the Final Four and winning it.
You going to come watch a little baseball this summer?
Oh, yeah. I'll be up there. Don't forget now. Listen, God bless Harry Carey and Ernie Banks.
Yeah.
I have sung every year since Harry Carey died. And when I did this past summer in August, I went out in the field throughout the first pitch, but I did a 360 going out to the mound because I wore Ernie Banks' jersey and number 14.
The best.
So when they get up to sing, all right, Cubs fans, are you ready? Are you really ready? Let's not just do this for Harry today. Let's also do it for Ernie Banks, 41,001 crazy. So, yeah, I plan to be up there, and I plan to be back to keep my tradition going. I guess now I'm the only one left.
Down the street? I think that's right.
Year.
I think that's right. I think that's absolutely right.
Ron Santo used to do it. Bernie's done it a lot, Bernie Williams. But Ernie did it every year as a Cub, and I'm the only non-Cub. Now I'm the only one to carry that tradition out for the Cubs. So Joe Madden, here's a quickie. Joe Madden was from Hazleton, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
In 1965-66, I coached St. Gabriel's High School to a state championship in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Some 11-year-old kid used to watch us play. His name was Joe Madden.
Is that right?
Really?
Fact.
That's a great story.
So we'll see what the Cubs
have. You guys talked about that?
That's tremendous.
We called up, when I was up last year, I was in the dugout before the game. We called up Father Ray DeVinny, who was the priest that hired me. He's like in his late 80s. And I had to put Joe on the phone with him. We talked about it.
That's tremendous. Beautiful. Hey,
well,
play your cards.
Funny story. Hey, with the press conference, when Joe got the call, remember they had it at Huggy Bear? Where was
Cubby
it?
Bear.
Cubby Bear, right?
Yep.
Okay. So here's what happens. At the end of the press conference, he says, give everyone a shooter on me. Mm-hmm. No one caught on why that happened. Let me tell you something. In Hazleton, Pennsylvania, every corner had a neighborhood bar.
Sure.
And it was back then it was a strip mine. The coal miners were strip miners on top going down. So, and I'm trying to get people to support us at St. Gabriel's. So I'd go in, and they couldn't afford a shot and a beer.
Sure.
So what they would do is for 15 cents, you got a Stegmeyer beer glass with a little shot glass of blackberry brandy. And that was the terminology back there. So when I'm watching that press conference, none of the media guys got it. I was the only guy that laughed. And I talked to him this summer about that, about him and that shooter being the blackberry brandy for the media at the bar at Cubby Bear.
Taking care of the miners. I hope you play your cards right. He might let you see his van. All right, hold on, buddy. That's a great Digger Phelps. Again, you know, if he just cared, if he just cared, you know what I mean, Dave?
Yeah, exactly.
If he just cared about the game, just wind him up and let him go. 9:26, we're back with a big story on 720 WGN.
Kevin's not here.
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 Kevin's not here. Kevin's not here.
Kevin's not here.
Kevin's not here.
What? Come on! Where'd you go?
Now in his 12th week of his sabbatical from the show, Kevin Paul, he's actually back in country. By that, I mean Chicago. Back from Arizona, where he personally drove Adam LaRoche's son away from the ballpark and to an In-N-Out burger. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing well, Steve. Looking forward to seeing you guys today.
Well, you're going to come in?
Yeah, I'm going to come to the meeting. I wouldn't miss a Monday morning meeting.
Well, that's excellent. We talked a little bit on Friday, but I think it's appropriate to have you, since you've been on this story since you got to Arizona, to wrap up the saga of Take Your Son to Work Forever Day. Reinsdorf spoke out on this?
Yeah, he did. He released a statement essentially just saying the team's going to – he put sort of a gag order on everybody as well and says we're moving forward from this. I don't know, Dave, if you have it in front of you there, but it's time for them to move on. This is dragged out for a while now, but it appears that the White Sox do have a serious divide in their locker room, which is not what you want 2 weeks before opening day.
Basically, the statement was, I think, pretty predictable. He had issued a statement Friday saying they were going to have meetings, and he said yesterday's met with everybody involved, including Adam LaRoche, front office, uniformed personnel, active players. And at this point, he still has complete faith in the leadership group of Ken Williams, Rick Hahn, and Robin Ventura. And now they're going to move on and concentrate on winning games, and they're not going to talk about this anymore. That's basically it.
You know, USA Today reported that there were a lot of players that actually did ask for the youngster to be removed.
Yeah, and basically Kenny Williams was taking the heat for it, but it was players who came to him, and obviously no players are going to come out and say they did.
So right. What do you know about that, Kevin?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that was another issue I had with Chris Sale going off on Kenny Williams to the media, to the public. Why he was saying any of that publicly, I have no idea. And then on top of that, you know, he may think he's coming off as some sort of leader of the team by speaking out against management, but there could have been guys two lockers down from him that were the ones complaining.
Right.
So meanwhile, you're creating even more of a divide there and some tension with your teammates while he thinks he's leading or whatever. But Chris Sale, what he said the other day publicly, I have no idea why he would do that. And it didn't help his cause. It didn't help
his
team at all.
And to me, it says more about his long-term relationship with Kenny Williams than it does about this Adam LaRoche thing, because he came out so strong and so negative. He sounded like a guy trying to get out of town or thought he would be heading out of town.
Yeah, and I think he was mad, obviously, that Drake LaRoche was no longer around. He was mad that Adam LaRoche is no longer around. But as he said, he was really upset that he was lied to. Now, as Dave just said, you guys just said, Kenny was the one sort of falling on the sword here, you know. And I think what happened was he was trying to clear the air with everyone and sort of tell a white lie in some ways and try to just smooth things over. He got caught in a lie, and Chris Sale caught him in a lie as he was trying to make everybody happy. And I think it's something that's been boiling up for a while with Chris Sale, and he just lost it. He lost it with Kenny.
We have a food plug to do before we let you go, but anything on the Cubs you want to tell us about?
Just to keep an eye on John Lester's arm. There are some reports that bone chip in his left arm. He says it's nothing major. But if there was one thing that I was keeping an eye on all season, it is a starting rotation for the Cubs, especially the back end there. And if Lester were to get hurt or somebody else, then they'd almost definitely have to go trade or get somebody else to add to the rotation. But that's about it in Cubs camp.
Well, starting pitching is the big question with the Cubs.
Well, but you still, you look at the top of the rotation with Arrieta and with Lester and Lackey now, and then you get to Jason Hamill, who's pitched well this spring.
Yeah, but you got 2.5 right now. You got 2.5 guys you can count on because Lester may not be ready.
I think Lester's going to be ready.
Yeah, and
well, do you think he's making up his arm thing?
No, but he says
that the official opinion of WGN Sports.
No, he's been pitching with it. He said for years.
Yeah.
Well,
our opinion on this show, the Steve Cochran Show opinion, is John Lester's done.
Kevin's got the
John Lester's announcing his retirement today.
Kevin's got a copy of the MRI.
I've just called a press conference.
Well, either way,
I may be ahead of this story a little bit.
I think you might be.
They have a surplus of positional talent, so if they need to, they can move a piece or two and acquire a pitcher in July when the trade deadline comes around.
You're doing sports for Roe today, tomorrow, Wednesday?
I am. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Wednesday, I think I'm doing a double. I'll be in the morning with you guys.
Yes, you will.
And I'm sticking around.
That's not a think. That's an actual.
Okay.
Let me go to Mary on the food plug, and then I'd like you, like Dean Richards, to judge her. This is Mary Sandberg doing Kevin's normal job. What do you have, Mary?
Well, Bona Beef is celebrating their 35th anniversary.
Very exciting.
So they brought in some original Italian beef, Kevin.
Yeah, what do you call those things? They're not trays. What do you?
Like a chafing dish?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and there's like Steno candles under it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's hot, so it smells delicious in here. And Bona plans to open 5 restaurants per year over the next 5 years, so they're growing.
And how do we find out more if we're interested in Bona Beef?
You can go to Bona.com. You can like them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
It's B-U-O-N-A?
Yeah, get yourself some beef.
Mary just made out of context.
Yeah.
All right, so what did you think of Mary's plug?
That's a Kevin's List A+. Well done, Mary.
Wow.
All right.
Well done. Wow.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Felt like she delivered it with passion. She got all the facts out that were needed, and well done by Mary.
Should we save some for you, Kev?
Yeah, that'd be great. I haven't had breakfast yet, so if you guys could save me a sandwich, I'll be there in about 15, 20 minutes. So
all right.
I appreciate it.
Meeting starts at 10:30. Don't be late. It's, clear so with Roe first,
you
obviously.
You gotta cancel the meeting. Wait until Kevin gets in and then just cancel it.
It's, I thought about that. 9:49. We're back with Bill and Wendy in a few minutes on 720 WGN. Couple of stories before we go. Prince Harry got 5 virgins on his trip to Nepal.
Excuse me?
I think he went to the Virgin Hut or just Virgins or maybe the Virgin Loft. He was presented with 5 virgins, a traditional greeting for a dignitary. They come in. Well, you don't get to keep them. It's not you get them and you bring them, you get to keep them and take them home.
Okay.
First off, it's hard to get them in the overhead compartment, right?
You would think.
The young women greeted their special guest with gifts of flowers and placed a garland around his neck. But it'd be awkward, though, if he thought he could keep them, wouldn't it?
It would.
Someone's got to tell the prince he has to give the virgins back.
That whole royal entitlement thing.
In New Jersey, should texting while walking be made illegal? They're taking that up, and they're going to vote on it this year. They're considering a ban. And if you look outside our window here on Michigan Avenue, you will see people all the time, and I mean every hour of the day, not paying attention, holding up traffic, a horn honking, occasionally nearly getting hit. You know, people worry about bike messengers. I would say texting while walking is much more dangerous.
There's a guy texting right now.
Yep. Everybody's got to look at their phone nonstop. Most beautiful skyline in America. Look up occasionally, people. Would you support a texting and walking ban?
But it's tough to ban that.
Yeah,
but
how do you police it?
Yeah, and
it'd be tough for the cops.
Yeah, just one more thing they got to look out for.
Yeah,
it is dangerous, though.
Yeah, it just people who do it should be subjected to some sort of ridicule.
Don't you think there's more ridicule?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they should be arrested.
Jeez, Dave,
but they should be
let's
ridiculed.
Put them in the middle of the courtyard.
So like we take them to Zany's, we put them on stage, and we just have comedians
roast them like that. Yeah.
Could roast him. I think more people walk around with coffee cups. Since I've been sitting down with you guys this week, I have noticed more people with Starbucks. You know, they're all have coffee cups more than texting.
But how
I
does
think.
How does that stop? How does that
it's
distract you?
It's dangerous too.
Why is it? Why
I don't
it
know. You,
you
could trip and wipe out, and your coffee goes flying, and you know, hit someone.
Somehow,
it's just as bad as texting.
Suddenly texting while driving doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah, well.
I haven't thought about the dangers of dropping exploding coffee.
Yes, and it's very hot usually.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yes,
yeah.
But seriously.
The imaginative world of Mary. And finally, Mary's lockdown, make sure she's going to get it right. Bet on this. Bet the kids' college fund on Mary's pick for Dancing with the Stars. You want to think about it for another minute and we'll come back?
I think I am.
You have it right now?
I don't know. I haven't seen them dance yet. Okay. That's not fair because I haven't seen them. But I'm going to go with one of the football players, maybe Von Miller, because you said he's very into this.
Seems really into
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Or Jody Sweetin has big dance background. She has danced
not the
her
only
whole
thing big
life.
On her.
Yes. When she wasn't doing illegal things. But yes, she has a big background. So Jody Sweetin, Von Miller. How's that?
That's one of your two, but you got to pick one.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, you have to. I have to. How about tomorrow after I see him dance tonight for the first time? Then I'll give my pick.
Remind me tomorrow because I'll
be seated. Okay. Is there a bracket?
There should be
no,
a bracket.
No, Dave, really? But they do get ousted. They do get voted off.
Middle Tennessee State knocked off Geraldo Rivera.
See?
It's 9:56. Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.